Okay, we get back in Galatians. It doesn't take me too long to forget exactly where I was and where I left off, and I'm sorry. But there you go.
Page 974,
your Scofield Reference Bible. We used to, the old fundamentalist Baptist churches I attended as a kid, they was, everybody's supposed to have a Scofield Reference Bible. Scofield's kind of messed up on a lot of things, but anyway, that's what you have. And then preachers sometimes would say, turn to page number 464 in your Scofield Reference. But he'd give you the reference too, but there you go. And as messed up as Scofield was, of course, they've come out with new editions of Scofield, which are more messed up. So there you go. Men are men. Right. And that's fine. It could be useful. Commentaries are useful. I love Brother Gill. But Brother Gill is not an inspired writer of Scripture. You know, we need to keep that in mind. We have God's Word, and that's that's the judge of all things. Well, Paul's been here in Galatians dealing with the false teachers that have come in. And then to set that kind of in context, as they were saying, well, you have to add this, you have to add that, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. Paul said, no, you have liberty in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Brother Howell talking about how the Lord's resurrection is just as real today. And really, our little pea brains can't wrap our minds around it, but he's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. We read of that everlasting covenant. We read of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And we've talked about this, that wonderful word, surety. Christ became the surety for his people in that everlasting covenant. Now, he had contracted, if you will, God had decreed he would come. And he would die. And he would atone for it. And he would physically raise from the dead. But the Father already accepted. We were accepted in the Beloved. When you all figure that out, you explain it to me. But it's true. We're accepted in the Beloved. Christ became our surety and the Father accepted that. What peaceful. And even the sister... the blind lady who wrote the hymn we just sang, Fanny Crosby. In that song she talked about, you spoke and I heard, you know, I heard. Why? Because the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so, okay, I don't know what that has to do exactly with where I'm going. But anyway, Paul spoke of these false teachers that came in and were saying, you got to do this, you got to do it. Christ has already done it all, number one. Number two, we can't add anything to it. And you have liberty in Christ, but that liberty is to be and live as we ought, to be what he's intended for us to be. And so Paul warns about using liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And that's always been an issue as well. And Paul warned against walking in the flesh, we're going to get into where he talks about walking in the Spirit. But he warned against the works of the flesh. And just read those verses and then go on in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Paul kind of encompassed it all there. You should need to be aware of these things again. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by his work, but we have to live it. We have to do it. And then he goes on, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll be aware of all this antinomianism that's preached today. You live like you want to. Do as you wish. And you're still going to go to heaven. Well, there's nothing you can do or undo that's going to change what God's decree was. But you've manifested. You're showing forth. Those who do such things, Paul say, who do those things as a manner of life, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we started talking about that, I think, last time. This inheritance. Children inherit things. They're not children. They're not manifested as children. That adoption, that placing as a child, the revelation of who you are and what you are. It's children that inherit. And don't think that you're a child if you don't manifest that you're a child, if you don't behave as a child. Brother Gill said, they that do such works of the flesh as before enumerated, that is, that live in the commission of these things, whose whole lives are employed in such work, living and dying in such a state, without repentance toward God and faith in Christ, shall never enjoy eternal life and happiness. It says, though such as have done these things, being brought into a sense of them and to the blood of the righteousness of Christ for pardon and justification, for life and salvation, such notwithstanding the works of the flesh done by them, shall, through the free grace of God and the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ, inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. We're not children. We don't earn our way into heaven. We're not children because of the way we behave. But after it's manifested that we're children, we'll behave the way we do because we are children. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. As Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus, and said, the Lord knoweth those that are his. His sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. The Lord says, I know my sheep. The Lord knows those that are his. And then after he wrote to young Timothy that, he said, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those who are truly children will want to live as children. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. His Spirit bears witness. And His Spirit bears witness as we live our lives. As the fruit, and Paul's going to get in to the fruit of the Spirit. As the fruit of the Spirit are manifested in our life. Not to a perfect degree. But we have that testimony of the Spirit. We have that desire to walk in His ways. John. The Apostle John in his first epistle, 1 John 4, verse 13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We know that we dwell in him. He gives us that assurance, that peace. Elsewhere it speaks of the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is a testimony. And it's not apart from our lives. It is a part of our lives. Here's what John said a couple chapters before in 1 John 2 and verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him. How do you know that you know him? Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Folks say, well, it doesn't matter how you live. You don't have to follow. Yes, yes. That's the testimony. That's not how we know him. It says that's how we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. You see a lot of folks, I'm a Christian. Or folks, well, of course I'm a Christian. I'm an American. I was born in America. I'm a Christian. And he saith, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, my mama was a Christian. Of course I'm a Christian. I had water sprinkled on me. Of course I'm a Christian. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That word perfected speaks of being completed, finished. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Again, here John says, hereby we know that we are in him. Hereby we know that we are in him. I don't want to go too far afield on this, but there's lots of error abroad today. And a lot of it's in Baptist churches. At least they got that name up over the door. Actually, if you put on your special glasses, you can look up there and you see where it says Baptist in a lot of these churches. And if you get your right glasses on, tilt your head the right way, you know what it says? Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. Assurance, listen to me, this arm twisting and persuasion and getting somebody to walk an aisle and stuff that they do. I'm not saying if you did that, the Lord might have used that. And I'm not saying you're not. But I'm saying that there's a lot of false assurance that's given to people because of that. Assurance does not come from remembering a time and a place. There's a lot of Baptist preachers that, you know, well, if you don't remember a time and a place, then you're not saved. Well, but his Spirit bears witness to my Spirit. I've manifested these things. He testifies to me. No, if you don't remember a time and a place, so what? I got to do something more? Kind of like these guys in Galatians are telling these people. If you can't remember a time and a place, well then, you know, a time and a place, you walked an aisle and you made a decision. Like that lady that visited here one time, she was like, here are the people my pastor warned me about. She said, well, if it's not because of your decision, how do you know? I know because the Spirit bears witness. He's brought me to see Christ and embrace him and know who he is and what he is. Or says, if believe not that I am, you should perish in your sins. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, Jehovah God, he reveals that things to his people. No, but folks say, why? Yeah, because I walked an aisle. There's a time and a place. I got it written down in the back of my Bible. I'm not saying that's bad necessarily. It's So I know I made a decision. I made a prayer at some point. The Holy Spirit knows those that are His. The Holy Spirit gives repentance and faith to the child of God. So what's time and place? You know what? The Bible's pretty clear and pretty evident that John the Baptist was regenerated in the womb. He recognized his Savior. Now, that doesn't usually happen. And even if it did happen all the time, that doesn't justify infant baptism, which some folks try to get around. Well, how do you know he doesn't have faith? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Well, then he's not a candidate for baptism. He has to testify to his faith. That's a whole other story. But it's not a whole other story. It all fits together. The Holy Spirit gives repentance and faith to the child of God. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoso keepeth His word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Not because something I did. Not because something a preacher did or a priest did or somebody else did. If the Lord has given you repentance and faith, and again, our faith isn't perfect. Sometimes I don't feel real saved. Some of you all saying sometimes you don't act real saved either, preacher. And you know, that's true as well. But there's His grace. His Spirit bears witness, and I seek to walk and to know and to be in these things. And Paul just says, I warn you, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, it is inherited. It's for the children. It's not earned. It is a result of having been chosen into the family before the foundation of the world. Well, that'll set some Baptists head spinning and calling you all sorts of names. But that's what the Bible says. The children inherit the kingdom. And then Paul, more happily, if you will, turns now to from the negative to the positive. From the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's not all negative. Preacher, you're always negative. Well, you know, electricity don't flow unless you've got a negative pole and positive flow. It says you shouldn't be negative. Well, nothing's going to happen without that. Besides which, the Bible gives us that. I didn't make this up. Paul wrote this. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But Paul, I say more happily, I don't know if it's good to say it that way, but I'll say that. He turns from that negative to the positive. He turns from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. And it's interesting, Paul's choice of words, and we'll go into it some, and I don't claim to understand it all the time. This works of the flesh and its fruit of the Spirit. It is something that the Spirit does. It's not a work of me. It's a work of grace that comes from God's Spirit that's worked out in the children of God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit is not the basis of our salvation. Just have some random tree over here, and if it works hard enough and brings forth grapefruit, then we say, oh, that tree made itself a grapefruit tree. No, that's not the way it works. A grapefruit tree brings forth grapefruit. Sometimes you don't know. You know, especially citrus. You don't know until it brings forth the fruit. Maybe some people do. But I think even some of the experts, sometimes they're not really sure until they got the fruit there. So I think it's this. I think it's that. I know it's citrus. The fruit of the Spirit manifests and shows what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is not the basis of our salvation, but it's the evidence of our salvation. It's the manifestation of our salvation. It's the proof of our salvation. And Paul says this, and then we'll look at it in more detail. I'll just read that whole passage and then we'll go back to it. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's an important word in Scripture. We're going to look at what little bit I understand about it. Various words that are used. There are like 7 Greek words that are translated, used of love. Only really 2 of them are used in the New Testament. And another one is directly alluded to, though not specifically used. But these are they're different things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the word that Paul uses here is agape, which people define differently. It is certainly the most elevated type of love. They say, well, it's the love of God. And it is. But agape is used to folks maybe who aren't of God. But it is an elevated type of love. And the best way, I think, to understand agape, and we're going to look at it, we're going to get to where the Lord's dealing with Peter after he says, come and dine. You know, and he kept saying, Peter, do you love me, Peter? I'm going to preach my sermon I'm going to get to eventually. But anyway, he said, do you love me, Peter? Do you agape me, Peter? Peter says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with a deep, abiding, a strong brotherly love. And again, there's more to all those terms. And that goes on. And finally, the Lord says, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me with that deep, abiding, brotherly love? And Peter says, you're God. You know everything. You know I do. And I got to share a little bit of this, but I'm going to get into it in detail because I was studying this week and I've studied that passage how many times, and there's some of it, you know, things that come out anew every time. Yeah, I think, you know, we say that was going back, but you know, what's the background of that? Agape, God kind of love, is a self-sacrificing love. It says Christ loved us, agape us, and he gave himself for us. Self-sacrificing love. And so the Lord says, Peter, do you agape me? I think Peter wanted to, and maybe he did. But Peter could still remember what had just happened a couple days ago. And these folks said, oh, you're one of his disciples. You know him. Peter cursed and said, I don't know that man. Is that a self-sacrificing love? You know, I think Peter in his own mind is like, I don't know if I feel worthy to say I got the Lord because, you know, what I just did a couple days ago. And then that goes on 3 times. Finally, the Lord says, do you phileo me? Peter says, you know I do. And then the rest of the story that comes out in the context of all that happened. And I'd never really thought about it in such detail before. And I'm sharing part of what you're going to hear again later, but that's okay. The Lord says, you know what, Peter? They're going to bind you. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. And it was binding, probably referred to being bound on a cross. They're going to bind you. They're going to do what you wouldn't want done. What you're going to experience. And I think the Lord there, in a sense, was telling Peter, which doesn't sound very positive, and somebody said, Peter, you're going to manifest that agape love. You know, that time's coming. And sometimes we may think, I don't have the agape love that I should. You know what? The time may be coming. It's going to be manifest to others and to us. The Lord's going to give us the strength we need when we need it. Now, Peter was, these things going on in Peter's mind, the kind of things that maybe would go on in my mind and maybe yours. Again, the Lord's saying, do you love me with this self-sacrificial kind of love, God kind of love? Peter's like, I don't know if I can. Peter said, maybe I want to, and maybe I do, but I'm afraid. I don't think I can say that. I don't think I'm worthy to say that. And I just pray the Lord help us to understand these things. And again, so I brought in where I was singing this song about come and dine, because that was the context where the Lord appeared to his disciples the third time. And they're out there. Peter, too, it was like the Lord had already told them what they were supposed to be doing. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But what did Peter do after the resurrection? He said, I'm going fishing. Yeah, I'm going back to what I used to do. Maybe again, in his own mind, he thought, I'm not worthy to do those things anymore. I'm going fishing. He's out there fishing, and somebody calls from the shore. Says, how's it going? So we're not going good. We don't have anything. He said, cast it in the net again, cast it again. And they get so full that they can't draw it in. Peter remembers that had happened another time. Early in the Lord's ministry, and that they burst the nets. And there's a man talking to him from the shore, and one of the disciples says, that's the Lord. Well, it's pretty obvious. And good old Peter, scripture. I'm preaching this whole sermon. I'm going to get into it and give you more details later. But that old fisherman Peter, scripture says he was naked. And that word naked, you know, we use that in a broader sense as well. Peter was probably in his skivvy drawers, like an old fisherman would be out there. And it says he put on his fisherman's coat and jumped in the water. He wasn't going to wait for that boat to get to shore, and he started swimming. And obviously, the heart that Peter had, that the Lord had given him, and I can identify a lot with Peter. The questionable parts of his life. Not so much the good parts usually, but, you know, Peter was flesh and blood, just like you and me. He had failings, he had questions, he had doubts. If he got in the flesh, he'd get scared, do things that he shouldn't have been doing. He'd argue with God about doing things he should be doing. And I'm getting off track, but you know what? This book is a true book. It's about it's the very word of God. It's God breathed, and it's about people like you and me. And may the Lord make that real to us. May He be pleased to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one that Paul gets here is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And fruit, again, something that comes from something. It's an effect. It's a result. The fruit of the Spirit. So you've got the Spirit if you've got the fruit. And that's the point being. And Paul will get into that. We'll pick up there. Hopefully next week we'll pick up somewhere and go wherever we go. By the grace of God. We'll take our hymnals, and if you like, you can stand and sing number 66, I Love to Tell the Story. And that's the rest of the story as well. The Lord kept saying, Peter, do you love me? And he'd say, Lord, you know I love me. And then Peter said, then the Lord said, then feed my sheep. That's what he had told him before. And three times. Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Then do what I told you to do. Don't go back to being a commercial fisherman. Do what I told you to. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But sometimes the Lord has to knock the rough edges off us to get us to do it. That's the truth. That was the truth of Peter. Okay, I'm waxing eloquent. Maybe I'm tired or something today. I don't know. Number 66. I love to tell the story. Father, we thank you for this day, the Lord's day. Thanks for his glorious resurrection from the dead. Lord, his ministry to his people. Lord, we thank you for your love for your people, your compassion and patience. Lord, I pray that you might work in our lives to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, that you might bring forth that which would glorify thee, even as Peter was bound and taken places that he wouldn't have chosen to go on his own. And yet you were glorified, and his life, his testimony, and Lord, in the love that your people show for thee and for one another, Father, we realize that's not from within us. It's truly the love of God. Father, sometimes we feel so incapable of being and doing and living as we ought. Father, we know we can rest in you. That you will accomplish your will and your people. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal love, for the inheritance that we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Pray again for those who need healing, for those who need comfort. We thank you for our Savior, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.